Welcome to The Scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Lakeland Gordon, owner, designer, everythinger of the Watermark Design. Lakeland, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started with this and exactly what you do.
So I make handmade jewelry, super delicate designs out of polymer clay. Started back in 2019. My sister, she has a ripped earlobe. She loves big statement earrings. So she pretty much bullied me into starting to make earrings for her. She pretty much bought me stuff and forced me to make them for her because she knew that they were lightweight and that she could wear them. And I did not want to make them, but I went ahead and started playing with it. It was never a medium that I had played with before and ended up falling in love with it. And 3 years later, I am still here playing with it. So,
and you mentioned your sister. When you first started, until recently, both of your sisters have been involved with the Watermark Design.
Yes, it was definitely family business. Once I realized I loved it, Brooke started helping me make some. And then, unfortunately, she moved away for grad school and kind of took on the back burner a little bit. But she was helping me out a lot with graphic design and running our Instagram pages. And our youngest sister, River, she also kind of put it on the back burner a little bit. But she was in high school, so it's to be understood. And she also just moved away for college. So she's kind of just focusing on herself now. So it's just me, but I still have a lot of fun with it, and they definitely influence and help me figure out designs. I'm pretty much on the phone with them at least 3 times a week. Like, what can we do? Give me some ideas.
Well, you have all kinds of designs, which people will be able to see at Art Prowl this year for the first time.
Yes, right? I'll be at Glass Tangerine. Vix Newman will be the other artist with me.
And their work is really interesting, and I think will be a good compliment and fit right in with the store. Kind of like yours does, since you already have things there.
So Glass Tangerine already stocks some of my work year-round, so if you're ever looking in there, you'll be able to find it. It's over usually in the left by the register.
I think I've noticed that when I've been in there before. Because I'm obsessed with that flower bar.
Oh, me too. I've gotten flowers there every 3 weeks for the past, since they opened. So.
It's such a cool shop. I love it so much. So how did you get started with jewelry? Like, how did you learn how to do this? Did you teach yourself?
Yeah, it's all self-taught. Lots of YouTube University, and other patrons, but specifically YouTube. I manage lots of Instagram. There's a lot of people that teach polymer clay on Instagram and YouTube. And I had never, like I said earlier, never worked with this medium before. So I was really not interested in it at all. And I was really big into charcoal. One of the things I really love about charcoal is that if you mess up, you can just kind of mush it out with your fingers.
Right.
And yes. It doesn't look like you've messed up at all. And that was one of the things when I started working with polymer clay that I really loved about it, was that if you mess up, you're not wasting material. You can just mush the clay back together and, you know, rub it out with your fingers and it's good and turns back into whatever you want. You've not wasted any material, waste a little bit of time, but you've also learned something during that time.
Yes. And time where you have spent learning things is never wasted, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, we all make mistakes as we learn. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's how we get better.
Yes.
And with the designs you do, with how intricate some of them are, I can't even imagine how long it took you to learn how to do all of this, how to teach yourself to do all of this.
Yeah, it is definitely a labor of love. So
we'll be right back on the scene with more with Lakeland Gordon.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
A book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, set a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to The Scene. I'm here today talking to Lakeland from The Watermark Design. How did you start getting interested in art? You said you started off with, you were really focused on charcoal before you were doing this.
Yeah, so I've always been an artist at heart. It took a very, very long time for me to actually become comfortable calling myself an artist to people because, you know, it always feels like if you are not getting paid and you're not successful, quote, that, you know, everybody wants to be an artist or wants to call themselves an artist. So it really took a long time until the last, you know, 3 or 4 years moving back up here to Cookeville that I felt comfortable saying, yes, I'm an artist, and started telling myself that. Made me feel a lot more confidently. But I've always been drawing. I've always been interested in the arts. And when I went to school, I actually went to school for marine biology. And quickly in my first semester, took a class in the theater department and managed to decide that I really loved theater. And even though I'd never really done much theater work at all, except for that class. I quickly changed my major and got really involved in the program there and quickly realized that I did not want to be an actor. When people ask what my major was in college, I always tell them theater costume design and quickly let them know that I was not an actor. I have never been an actor. I've never wanted to be an actor. Made a D in the only acting class I was required to take. Quickly fell in line with the costuming department, which was something I had never been interested in, never been interested in fashion or anything like that. But our costume director kind of took me under her wing and almost kind of forcefully pushed me into costuming, and which seems to be the way that most of my art goes.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, that's how you started with jewelry, too. So.
Yeah. So she kind of took me under her wing, taught me how to sew. I knew a little bit of basics, but nothing crazy. And I really, really loved it. And when I moved back up here after school, I got a job with the Nashville Repertory Theater until COVID unfortunately shut everything down. And since then, I haven't really done much with costuming because I've been focused on The Watermark, but I still really love it, really love going to watch shows and enjoying every aspect of that.
That's fun. That's such a jump from marine biology to costuming. But, I mean, in Tennessee, it's a little more practical.
So. It definitely is.
Oh, that's fun. So as you're working on something, where are you getting inspiration from?
I try never to look at any other polymer clay artists. I only follow like 2 or 3 other polymer clay artists on Instagram. In the beginning, I would look at a lot of different polymer clay artists, quickly realize like they were doing a completely different style than I was, or that just I was influenced in ways where I was more copying because I was a beginner rather than actually developing my own style. And so now I really focus on florals, since my main aspect in my jewelry is florals. I look at bouquets on Pinterest. Glass tangerine, definitely a big influence.
Makes sense.
And I also scroll through Instagram every once in a while and find cakes. I love like floral cakes, cake decorating.
Fun.
And it's kind of like the same medium of, you know, sculpting, because it's a soft, you know, obviously fondant is a little bit different, but it's a soft medium where you're sculpting something that's
earrings.
Not real. Definitely don't eat through earrings. But that's where a lot of the influence comes from. And then I also take in other people's opinions all the time, which is a lot. But people are giving me ideas all the time for different holiday themed earrings. You know, people want St. Patrick's Day themed earrings, and they want Christmas earrings and Valentine's earrings and Halloween earrings. And well, they have very specific earrings they want.
As someone who just bought some Halloween bat earrings from you, I am so excited that you are doing these because they're bats and they're earrings and they're light, which is like amazing because.
Oh, yeah.
I am not a jewelry person.
You can wear them all day long and never have any idea that they're actually in your ear.
Yeah. So, which is super appealing as someone who like loses her mind, like with dangly earrings and things. Even though I buy them all the time, I just, they drive me nuts.
Yep.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Lakeland from the Watermark Design. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Lakeland Gordon of the Watermark Design. What are you working on right now? Any big drops coming up? Christmas earrings?
Yes, so many winter. Christmas earrings. I just left the house, and I had to scrub my hands because they were covered in red clay and glitter. I have the cutest Santa earrings that I'm making. They're brand new. I've never made them before at any of my Christmas releases. And the hats are just pure red glitter. They're so gorgeous. They're so gorgeous.
If it's glitter, I'm in.
Yep. I managed to drop an entire container of glitter earlier, luckily right into my glitter box. So I was just able to take everything out and dump it straight in the trash. But it's very exciting because I haven't worn good glitter in a long time. And we've got Christmas studs, lots of florals coming. I have 3 events coming up in the first 3 weeks of November. So I have been working pretty much around the clock trying to get prepped and ready. Thankfully, the last event I was at in Omaha, Nebraska, I almost sold out, which is awesome.
Incredible.
But I have to remaking everything, which is a lot of fun because everything I make is one of a kind. So it's all extremely fun to work on because I'm not just boringly remaking the exact same thing that I
over
made
and over, again.
Over and over again. It always makes my little brain think a little bit harder of like, okay, how can I make something new and exciting that I haven't made before?
Nice. Okay. I love that. So you were just in Omaha. You are in a couple different places here. You're doing Art Prowl for the first time. So You've been to different places and kind of seen like what the art scene is like in those other places. Mm-hmm. How does the culture and the community here in the Upper Cumberland either help you or influence you as you work?
Definitely. There is such a incredible arts community here. Something that I did not realize when I left Cookeville, I could not wait to get out of Cookeville. Whenever I graduated high school, I was so ready to leave. And when I moved to Hattiesburg, it was, they had a big art scene, but it was mostly on campus, you know, where you were, if you were going to some sort of show or event, it was done by the college students in the area. And here I feel like there is a large arts community within Tech's campus, but also it explodes into the community as well, bringing in people of all ages, from kids to, you know, seniors and anybody in between. And it's really inviting and inclusive for people who are artists and also those that aren't. And people who, like I was before, who consider themselves artists but are a little bit more nervous to be like, yes, I am an artist. This is what I am. And it's so inclusive. Everybody is so friendly and not competitive, which is awesome.
I love that. I say that every time someone asks me about it. It's like you – I know 14 other nature photographers here, and everyone is just like, oh, where did you go? Oh, that's a cool place. You know what? Yep. You should check out this place. Like, everyone wants to help everyone.
Yeah.
We all want to make each other better. It's like, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yep.
That's what it is here. And I don't think other places have that.
I do not see it in other really places unusual. As much. And that's like, even when I go to shows out of state, the people around me in the booths are all really exciting and happy to be there, but they're also like, we're going to kind of keep our space and our distance. Whereas when I do shows here, like Mistletoe Market or Fall Fun Fest, the people in the booths beside me are always extremely happy to watch the booth, to talk. They want to know where you've been, how you're doing. And they're also encouraging you and buying your stuff and just really supporting you.
Oh, God, I spend so much money on putting other people.
Yes.
I'm like, you know, oh, crap, there goes my profit.
Putting you on their social media, you know, it's a really awesome community.
It really is. So it always warms my heart when I hear other people say that because I'm like, am I just like really easy to please or is it really that amazing? But it really is that amazing.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. All right. Last question. I know we talked a little bit about Art Prowl. So where can people find you coming up? Where can people find your stuff normally? Art Prowl, you're at Glass Tangerine.
Yep. I'll be at Mistletoe Market the first weekend of November. Art Prowl the second weekend of November. Made South Market in Franklin the third weekend of November. And then I'm also online. I'll be announcing an online drop soon. Hopefully, I haven't quite decided what date it's going to be best just because I have been making so much around the clock lately. And then also I am at Glass Tangerine just on a yearly basis and regular basis. And also at Golden Row Salon and Boutique on the other end of Broad Street.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. Thank you.